This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And we now have in the studio...
We have a superstar in the studio, but we'll get
David's
to her later.
You can
tell David's very excited. We'll get to that. We'll get to the superstar. In fact, they're both superstars, David.
No, it's okay. I'm okay with not being a superstar exactly. This time around, particularly in the company of this fabulous woman.
We have in the studio with us Sharon Davis and Jane Clifton.
Yay!
Who are both in a show called Spencer. Now, Sharon is the director of the show, and Jane is an actor in there.
Is that all you are? Just the actor?
Only acting. That's all it is, Jane. So,
Go on.
No, we like to start off the show, we like to start the interview by talking a little bit about your background and how you got interested in what you're doing now and you know, how you got to where you are now. So, Sharon, we might start with you.
Sure.
So, Sharon, just let us know, I mean, where did you start? How did you start off in the business and where did the love come from?
I guess I really sort of thought about it professionally at university. I was going to be a psychologist and then
similar.
Like, how do human beings tick? And I took drama as what I thought would be a bit of a bludge subject, like just to fill up some credit points, and now I'm here. So there's a word to the wise. Be careful what you pick as your credit point fillers.
So did you finish the psychology degree? Or
No.
I
got the bug. I bummed around at quite a few different kind of like degrees and then finished with an arts degree, which is proved invaluable, and then moved to Melbourne to train at BCA. So, by that stage, I was well and truly on the track.
As an actor?
Yeah.
Right. And then when did you cross over to being director?
Only pretty recently. And actually, Spencer is really the first play that I've fully directed, like beginning to end. So I dabbled as a bit of an assistant director or, dramaturg or just, hey, can you have a look at this and tell me what you think sort of position. Spencer was really my first directing gig.
And what's it like then having somebody who's so well known in Australia in the cast?
Very intimidating. Very trying. She's such a diva.
I could imagine.
Like so many times I just had to like walk around and just pick up all the names she was dropping everywhere. Jane is a legend. And it was easy. I mean, the whole cast are fantastic.
Yep.
I think one thing I learned quickly as a director is if you cast it well, most of your job is done.
Absolutely.
So I didn't really have to do that much work. I had a fabulous play to start with.
Yep. And we'll get to that.
So, you know, that always sets you up well. I had great producers and I cast it really well. So I didn't have to do much.
And is that hard work? I mean, the casting well, I suppose, in a sense, because, you know, trying to convince people to come onto your program, especially being your first one.
Yeah.
How difficult is that to try?
Well, again, I used the play to help me out. I remember sending it to Jane because I was actually, if you don't mind me telling you a quick story.
Yeah, sure.
But I knew I was going to cast this thing and this character is so pivotal to making the play work. And I was coming into the city and I was on the tram and I was sort of just, I don't know, looking on my phone, looking at Facebook. And on my Facebook feed popped up, John Thorne was doing a gig at the Butterfly Club and Jane Clifton was in it. And I saw her face and I just went, that's it. that's the woman. And I knew that she'd worked with a really dear friend of mine. And I just looked at her and I went, I have to go and see this gig. And it turns out I missed it by like an hour. So I didn't end up seeing the gig, but I knew that Jane was going to be right. So, so we got in contact and I sent her the script and
brilliant.
Yeah, that was
now
it.
Jane, come on. Even though,
why I like doing radio, cause I've never heard that story before. It's great. Must work with John Thorne more often.
Now you're like, where did it all start for you? You know, like, because you've had just such a wonderful career.
Well, my mum was an actress and a singer. Okay. So I'm a British Army kid born on the Rock of Gibraltar and travelled all around the world with my dad to British Army bases around the world before we came to Australia at the age of 12. And my mum was always in plays and she sang on the radio, but that's a part of the British Army kind of thing. So it was in the blood, it was in the house.
Yeah.
Dad's a soldier, but mum's an army wife and just like all the army wives you've ever read about, cocktail parties and being frightfully, frightfully.
Awesome.
You know. Yeah. And so it was there in my system.
Yep.
But just like Sharon, I went to university to be a maths teacher.
Wow.
Because, you know, I mean, at the time when I went to university in 1968, you know, it was the grooviest place on the face of the earth, Monash University. It was the home of sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Yep, yep.
And I was going to do anything possible to get to go there, even study. So I did my matric twice and I went off to uni on a Commonwealth scholarship.
Yeah.
And just...
Did you randomly choose maths or...?
I loved maths. I did maths up to year 12, as we call it now, and then I had to redo humanities after that. But I've always loved maths. Maths and music, they're very connected in the brain.
Absolutely.
But at Monash, I joined the Monash Players and got involved out there, and I just somehow got involved in a group that was doing shows at La Mama.
Mm.
So... living out there in Caulfield and going to Monash, but riding my Honda 50 into Carlton to La Mama to take my clothes off on the stage at La Mama a lot while the Doors were playing in the background. So I fell into it. It was never a career, but that time of life, 60s and 70s, it wasn't a career option for anyone. There were no colleges here churning out highly trained professionals.
Yep.
We all did it because we wanted to. We all made a deal with ourselves or to our parents that we would go back and finish our teaching degree and get a real job. But then, you know, jobs just kept popping up. So it's really just been an accidental career for
me. Now, television, you're like a show that is shown around the world, even to this day. You know, like, what's that like, being part of Australian history, the landscape?
Are you talking about Prisoner?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, again, in those days, I was driving past where Crawford Television Productions was the other day and explaining to people that in 69, 70, you could go and do an open audition at Crawford Television Productions with, you know, Mari Trevor and Henry Crawford. And if you passed that audition, they'd put you on a little card and they'd file you. And anytime they wanted someone who looked like a prostitute or a drug addict, they'd call me. And so I was in things like Homicide, Division 4, Bluey, you know, all those playing what I was good at, because I didn't have that kind of Linda Stoner, attractive, gorgeous Farrah Fawcett bangs. I had a, you know, a rough-looking face. So when I went into Prisoner, it was just as a special extra, which ended up parlaying into 4 years of in and out of Prisoner. And if we had known that... people would still be watching it 40 years later, we would have asked for a lot more money.
Yeah, I
just
betcha.
What I'm saying.
But, but you also went through a period where you were getting nothing, you know, like, even though it was being shown around the world.
Oh, no, we've never had been paid anything.
Oh, I thought you were nowadays.
No, no, there's only one person who's ever been paid every time. But the rest of us, a standard contract in those days said... one showing, three repeats, worldwide, on any planet, on any device. And all of us signed those contracts, just happy to be working.
Of course.
Yeah. It's before any shows were on overseas.
Yeah.
But one person crossed that paragraph out and no one even stopped her because no one thought that would happen.
Yeah.
Mm. And literally, I think Young Doctors, Restless Years were the first people to be shown in Britain, and the idea that we might be shown overseas was too late for us because we'd all signed it away.
Mm.
So we've never received any royalties apart from that original payment. And I think when it was on Foxtel about 5 or 6 years ago, we got about, you know, $25 or something. But nothing. No. Wow. But that's not the point. I mean, we are part of... it was an iconic show.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know that at the time, but it employed nearly every actress in Australia.
Wow.
And not because they looked great. You didn't have to be a glamazon. In fact, it helped if you weren't. You had to be a good actor, and that was great. We had great scripts, a lot of them written by women. And people loved the show for whatever reason. And so sometimes it's a kind of albatross around my neck, and other days I'm very grateful that I was in something that's still remembered fondly.
And the fact is that that made you a household name, but you've been in so much else.
I was kind of in rock and roll before. Mm. I've been on Countdown countless times before then.
There was some top, you know, some hits in the
as well, so they've always been side by side. So I was no stranger to television, but it was the first time you're on people's television twice a week, you know, for 3 years. You know, people don't forget you.
Yeah. Now, Sharon, Let's talk about the play. What's it called?
It's called Spencer.
Yep.
By Katie Warner, fabulous playwright, local playwright. So I guess it's about family. Like, it's kind of how family. Can I swear?
Not really.
No. It's how family Fs you up. And, you know, can sometimes, you know, be your, like, your best and worst friend. And so, you know, it's about quite a tight-knit family of grown children who all come back to the family house, led by matriarch Marilyn, played by Jane. The youngest of these three grown kids is an up-and-coming AFL footy star, and he's just found out that a one-night stand led to a child, and he's about to meet that kid for the first time. And so the families all come together to kind of put on a bit of a party and meet young Spencer, is his name. And chaos ensues, including the return arrival of their estranged father, who they haven't seen in many, many years. So it's a comedy. It's got a lot of drama as well. I reckon, you know, if you're a fan of things like Kath and Kim, Muriel's Wedding, The Castle, that kind of Aussie humour, you'll definitely find something to tilt you in this.
Will this end up as a film one day? You know, like the putting it in that category?
I don't know. Like, it's funny. With the first season we did a couple of years ago, there were a lot of people who, you know, kind of could see that could happen. I guess anything's possible and, you know, everyone loves to see how, you know, things transition from one form to another.
Because it's been so successful, hasn't it?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, like, loved by the critics and people all round.
Yeah, people really, really responded to it. And I think it's because, you know, no matter kind of what class you are or what kind of cultural background you are, pretty much anyone can connect to that family dynamic. And, you know, you might not connect with all of it, but there's always something in there that people, you know, really respond to. And, you know, we'd get it just from the set with people walking into the show. They looked at the set and we'd, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's very kind of like old school, never changed since the late 70s kind of vibe to it. Quite chaotic. And, you know, just that people would connect with. So, yeah, it's. I think it's something that the characters and the storyline is definitely ripe for the picking if someone wanted to take it on.
Yeah, I saw it a couple of years ago in the first run.
Great.
And that set was like every living room you've ever seen in Mooney Ponds from the 1980s to the late 1990s.
Possibly the worst orange couch you've ever seen in your life.
I love it.
Although I would like it because I like retro.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's been in the Lab Kelpie office for the last 2 years.
Yeah. No, and it's about footy too, you know, which is the really important, as a metaphor for a whole lot of things. And I'm a passionate diehard football fan. The Mighty Bombers, of course.
Bombers. Collingwood.
Oh, well, it's been really great being here. I have to go now. See you on Anzac Day. So that's really good. The passion that my character has, not only for football, and, you know, I have lines where, you know, one of my sons, I'm going, that was the dream. It was the only dream. And everything is invested in these boys' career, even though one of them is a huge success and the other one's a huge, you know, that close, almost that close. Yeah. But it is a raucous play and I absolutely love swearing. There's not one line I deliver without the F word in it. And at the end of the season where I've been swearing like a trooper with unlimited for the whole 2 weeks, and I'd get home and I couldn't actually swear like that anymore. Or if I did, my child would look at me and go, Mom. And, you know, it's so liberating. And it's great swearing. It's not gratuitous. It's not just for the sake of it, but it is the way a lot of people talk.
Well, the characters feel really real in this play, and, you know, I think this play is really important because it's a new Australian work, but also it's something that we don't see very often, which is working class people on Australian stages.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Western Sydney. You know, Marilyn is just like my mum.
Oh,
like,
great.
It's bizarre. And it was almost like a surreal experience. So when David talks about it making into a film, that doesn't work for me because it's like, it's literally like going to your mate's house and having a Domino's pizza and watching, you know, Hey, Hey, It's Saturday on a Saturday night. It's amazing. It's it's such a beautiful encapsulation.
There's a lot of love in there, isn't there? There's an incredible, even though it's harsh and hard-hearted, there's an incredible, that's what I think is important about this show, is that it has that balance between full-on humour and full-on passion, but there's that, it's heartbreak towards the end. Mm. There are lines I deliver, most lines, I'm like, I can't deliver them without a tear. They still get me every time because it's, you know, it's just fantastic.
It's a beautiful play.
And speaking of, you know, legends of the theatre, I mean, Roger Oakley's in there playing my husband. Yep. And what a privilege it is to work with him. He's been in just about every Melbourne Theatre Company production since I was selling programs in the foyer when I was, you know, 18. He's just dynamically marvellous.
So,
I said, good casting.
Good casting. Yeah. And congratulations. Thanks. And a short season.
Well, we're going on tour. So we've got a little over a week to put the show back together after 2 years.
Yep.
And everyone's signed back on, which is amazing.
Do you know what? It's so nice to hear that it's touring.
Yeah.
Because a show like this, it needs a little bit more, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we pulled it together by the skin of our teeth last time around, and it was a real passion project for us at Lab Kelpie. And everyone loved it because they loved the script and fell in love with each other, and we knew that it would work as a national tour, and it nearly didn't happen, but it's all come together. So we've had great support from Creative Victoria, from Circuit West in WA, and from Our Tour in Queensland.
Fantastic.
As well as just people who love the show and the actors and the designers.
And where is it?
Right. So we're going to be on at Gasworks for just two shows.
Yep.
So that's the 4th and 5th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So Gasworks are hosting us while we rehearse the show and put it up there. Then I think on this, we're going to Werribee to Wyndham Arts Council on the Saturday the 6th, Bendigo, the Capitol Theatre,
Swan Hill,
and then it's sort of off to and Wonthaggi, and then it's off to WA. So doing a bit of a circuit around a few places in WA, quite regional mostly, Queensland, so Mackay, Townsville, Brisbane, a couple of places around New South Wales, Cessnock, which is my home kind of area of the Hunter Valley, very working class, and Penrith as well. So Western Sydney, I think they're going to love it. And then a little bit back in Victoria again. So.
Brilliant. Oh, good. Yeah. Back in Victoria.
And so would the Lab Kelpie website be the best place for people to go for information?
Yes, labkelpie.com. Is the place to go, and there's a page for Spencer, and there's a tab where there's the 2019 tour date, so you can check that all out there.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Sharon. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You're enjoying 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.